This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's Rop and Sue on a Monday. Hope you're having a good day. Nice little day out there, looks like. Rashad Taylor was in earlier. Had a discussion about the events of the world right now. I've got in the news coming up. Just got the alert on my phone. Emergency alert.
What's happening?
Curfew, 8 p.m.
tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was there was one last night, right? Same thing, 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Last two nights.
I was driving. I had to take someone to go pick up their car last night over in Portland, and it was crazy. This was 7-ish, 7:30, somewhere around there, and this was over off of. Let's go like Stark and 82nd-ish, that general area.
Mm-hmm.
And between my house in Clark County and there, I'll bet you I saw maybe 20 cars on the road, including the freeway. It was crazy. I just was like, oh my God. Like even during the height of the COVID stuff, it wasn't that barren. It was so creepy. And all the exits into downtown off 84 were closed. I mean, it was straight after the apocalypse stuff.
Yeah, my wife and I were talking about it, and we were like, well, good thing we're in bed by 8:30.
Curfew?
Curfew.
Rob wants the curfew at 6:15.
Yeah, we might need that at about 5.
Yeah, dial that back in. Get a glass of wine going a little early, maybe get into bed, you know, watch some Ozark.
We'll have all the latest on in the news, 4:30. Our stock watch is coming up next, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports. Mike puts that together. But the big positive news, because, look, we talked about this on Friday. What kind of a day would Saturday have been? With all the protests going on, and a global pandemic still going on, and then they launch a freaking spaceship explodes.
I was waiting. I honestly
Where does that go in the pantheon of worst days ever?
I was just waiting. I was like, "All right, 2020, what do you got?"
Right.
And I was legitimately scared.
So
like,
was I.
Goosebumps on my arm. Was it the Falcon 9? I think it was the rocket. I just was like, oh, for the love of Pete, please don't, not now.
We need this. Get up there.
We want one thing, right?
Get up there.
Tom Cruise, give me this one
thing. Get up there.
Buddha, just brother. Someone.
Well, it made it.
It said get. Yeah.
And you know what? It got.
It was freaking awesome, too.
It got. It's up there. So if you didn't see it, which you may not have because it was Saturday, Bob and Doug McKenzie made it to the International Space Station.
Yeah. The Elsinore Beer has
in
docked.
One piece.
Yeah, the van.
The two bros that went up are astronauts named Bob and Doug.
Yeah.
And it took 19 hours for them to get up there. It was, of course, this is the one we were talking about last week where it was the combo of NASA and SpaceX, which is Elon Musk's program. And it was very cool. First time since space shuttles were put 6 feet under that we have sent U.S. astronauts to the International Space Station. Into the International Space Station from U.S. soil.
Yeah. We've been having to hitch rides.
With the Russians.
You stick the thumb out, and then, like, on the way up to space, you know,
they stop.
We get one of those big balloons out there, and, you know, just jump on in. You know,
Well, it worked. And Friday it was tenuous too because one of the other SpaceX rockets blew up.
Yeah.
But that was unmanned.
And then I was watching a thing with a master of all things space, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
My brother tweeted this at me.
He's great.
Well, we were talking that I fell down the rabbit hole not too long ago about reading the Buzz Aldrin autobiography, which, again, I can't tell you enough good things about. Read that. That dude is amazing. Kind of an ass, but an amazing one at that. And they were just talking about the space shuttle program and how there's something ridiculous, like 17,000 moving parts that if any one of them fails, it's over, like kaboom. And Neil deGrasse Tyson was saying that the sound waves that it produces can blow up the shuttle. And a lot of times that's why the launch is scrub or scrub. They said they have to dump a bunch of water. That's like you get that big steam cloud. They say they just dump all this water on there to deaden the sound because just that, the vibrations are so strong and loud, the reverb after hitting the ground can blow up the rocket.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So why don't you just add that, all the moving components that can blow you up. Oh, and then by the way, the sound waves that it produced, that can blow you up too.
Yeah, that's crazy. Bob and Doug are heroes. And yes, they're up there. They made it. They docked. It said they had to wait 3 hours for the pressurization to equal in the Dragon, which is the component that they were in. Because the rocket shoots the Dragon on up to the ISS. Yeah. The rocket obviously doesn't go all the way.
Yeah, the rocket's like peel off.
Yeah. And then they go do cool rocket things. Yeah. And then Dragon, with carrying the two dudes, and a dinosaur, by the way.
Dragon and Nighthawk.
They shoot up to the International Space Station, and then they dock that SOB, and then they have to wait 3 hours, and the pressurization equalizes. And then they get into the ISS, and what do they do when they're up there?
Have a glass of Tang.
Nobody,
right?
Nobody really knows.
Don't you think that there has to be like if I was an astronaut and I was going up just for S's and giggles, I would take a thing of Tang.
Yeah, because you can see the little space powder
mix
type
it all
thing,
together.
You
know? That and there's some. I would think that the nostalgia of it, like if I was going to be an astronaut, bro, I would bring some Tang just to say, hell yeah, had some Tang on the International Space Station.
So there's only three other guys up there. We've got one other American astronaut and two Russian astronauts. So there's only five of them.
Yeah.
And so what they're saying is they can't really do much research because there's only five of them. So they're going to do they're going to clean and stuff.
What? They're going to clean?
Yeah, like refurbish tasks. That's what they're going to do.
They have like one of those Dysons up there, like a cordless stick vac? Yeah,
probably dust bust a little bit.
How does that work? Is there a pledge?
Sweeping?
Do you think they're like in a, because in nice cars, they do like the wood inlays. Like, you don't have a nice car unless you got like a wood steering wheel. Is there a lot of rich mahogany on the International Space Station?
I don't know what it looks like up there, but they say they could be up there for up to 4 months. And then some of the parts on the Dragon start to deteriorate.
Yeah.
So they have to check that. And if it starts to deteriorate, then they got to hop back on up. They got to get out of there.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They got to jump off.
So you're telling me it's like someone goes and does a, sorry, I'm distracted by what I'm seeing on the TV. I don't know what the hell's going on there. You're telling me that they go do like a Sipowitz. They give it a once over on the Dragon and they're like, hey, the Dragon's falling apart. I've got an idea. Hop on it real quick and let's get out of here.
No, I don't think they hop on it. I think they just leap.
That seems a little.
And they just fall down. To
like
Earth.
If you're going on a road trip and someone's like, hey,
I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Should we leave now? I don't know. I went and looked at the car. It didn't look so good. It looked like it was kind of rattling a little bit.
Well,
let's go anyways.
They said that. Yeah. Well, basically what you just said is true.
Yeah.
So they say that it's built to stay up there for about 4 months. But after that period of time, it starts to deteriorate. So they have to be the eyes and ears. They have to go out and look at it. And they're like, yeah, we should probably go.
Yeah.
Or they say they could stay longer than 4 months if the ship, the Dragon, stays intact better.
Yeah.
So they will figure that out.
I'm telling you, if I was Doug, because look,
four months, a long time.
Exactly. No matter what condition the Dragon's in, I know my report would say, I think we need to go and we need to go.
Yeah, sorry, we got
to
come back.
Yeah, like 3 months in, I'd be like, you know what? I think we should maybe leave now. 3 months on that thing, that's more than enough.
Well, Bob and Doug did a cool video. If you want to watch it, it's probably on YouTube or something. But they did a video while they were going up. And it's crazy to see inside there. So it took them 19 hours to get to the International Space Station.
Yeah.
They said they slept for a good 7 hours of it.
Really?
Yeah. They were just, yeah.
Well, I'm guessing that's
there's not much to do.
Well, I'm sure that's probably a, I know it's, you're just sitting there, but I'm guessing the number of G's that you have to pull during that whole thing. I'm guessing that's a little tiring. Like, who doesn't want to take a nap? Plus all that Tang you've been drinking.
So they said that they showed all the touchscreens and everything's touchscreen.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. It's just super modern, way more modern than you would think, than you think of old NASA, you know? No. And they sat about it, or they stand really, because they're floating in front of a foot in front of all the screens and all little touchscreens. And he showed it, you know, they showed the video of like what those things do, like hit this button if you want to eject and like hit this button if you don't want to die. And
is there
power?
If the movies have taught me anything, and I'd like to believe that they have, where's the self-destruct button? Every good spaceship has a self-destruct button.
And
right?
They said their kids both love dinosaurs. So Trimmer, I don't remember what kind of dinosaur it was, but Trimmer, a little pet dinosaur,
yeah,
is up there with them.
Just bouncing around?
Floating, yes. And I can confirm they were not socially distancing quite enough.
No.
But, you know, like, not a lot of room.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, because, you know, it used to be back in the day with the Ruskies, we would send up, like, space chimps, which, let me just say for the record, hell yeah. How do you control the space chimp when he's on the International Space Station? Like with the poo slinging and all that?
I mean, I don't know.
It would seem very reckless to me to just have like a chimp bouncing around up there doing
whatever.
Well, he's
a space chimp. He's way smarter. He knows not to throw his poop around.
Right, he's trained.
Does he really?
Well, he's in space.
Well, and if he throws it,
means he's smart.
It won't go anywhere.
Oh, it's going somewhere.
There's no gravity.
It's floating around up there. Next thing you know, you've
breaking
got,
into smaller poop particles.
Exactly. You've got a monkey turd that's just floating around up there. You can't have that. You can't have that sort of chaos.
Turns into a lot of mini turds.
Yeah, and they sent a dog
goes
up there.
Goes into the vent, and all of a sudden you're breathing in the poop air.
Like, I'm just imagining if you put like my little bulldog, like you send Crumb up to the International Space Station, you've got an incident on your hands. Because I promise you, he's not behaving in space. You're just going to have his fat little meatloaf body floating around up there. You can't be doing that.
Well, they said, the two guys said that the shuttle, because they've been up via the space shuttles before.
Yeah.
They said that the shuttles were a rougher ride than this off the launch pad, but they did say this Dragon bad boy was, and their exact words were, it was huffing and puffing all the way into orbit.
Oh.
So sounds like there were a few moments where they were like,
Well, I forget there was one astronaut, and I forget who it was. I just saw a quote, and I'm paraphrasing, but we were talking about the risks involved in these launches, and the odds have gotten a lot better as the technology has gotten better. But like, these shuttles have a good chance of going kablooey, right? Like the Challenger shuttle, they said it was what, 1 in 6. Those were the odds that it was going to make it into orbit during those early days. Now it's a little bit better, obviously, than that, but you're still not feeling really good about this. And one of the astronauts said, look, he goes, if you understand that you are sitting on the largest pile, like you said, of like hydrogen, you know, basically the world's largest hydrogen bomb, and you know that someone is going to ignite it and you're sitting at the top of it and you aren't nervous, then you're stupid or, you know, you're ignorant. And I was like, it's a valid point. You're sitting on those two big canisters of flammable material and someone's getting ready to light it. That's why I always say that you're Wile E. Coyote-ing that son of a bitch up into the atmosphere, right?
Yeah.
Hey, strap yourself on this big Acme rocket and let's just go ahead and light it and see what happens.
Well, they made it. They're there.
Bob and Doug.
So that was we did not need that tragedy on top of all the other.
No.
And they're there. They're safe. There's five of them hanging out up there, and the pet dinosaur.
I did hoist a beer in honor of the dragon when I was watching that. I said, this one's for you. It wasn't an Elsinore, but, you know, it was a 10-barrel, so it's something.
Cool. All right, we've got coming up next our Primetime Stock Watch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
It's Primetime Stock Watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by
1-800-DIVORCE when you need to take stock of your rights. 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, I've neglected to mention in the first 1 hour and 21 minutes of our show that we do have a new text number. If you are not able to get through on the text line today at 55305, it's because the number has changed. So all you need to do is pop open your phone and replace 55305 with the following phone number. And it's a number you hear often.
Yeah.
503-250-1080 is now our text line number.
And that's the same as our phone number. So if you want to call Mike Lynch, and he loves it when you call him during the show and he answers and asks, well, really, you can ask him any question you want and he answers it, because that's his job.
He does an AMA, a Reddit AMA on the phone lines.
Yeah, 503.
Just for you if you call.
250-1080. That's the text number and the number to get directly to Mike Lynch.
And let me tell you something. He can dance.
Yes, he can.
So 503,
as far as you all know,
250-1080 is our new text number, and that is effective as of today. 55305 worked over the weekend and everything, but now they're shutting her down. So we're streamlining it. 503-250-1080 to reach us via text, and we'll keep reminding you. But easiest way to do it is put it in your phone. In the news is coming up next: to National Guard or not to National Guard, and the latest on COVID. But here's Mike with our Stockwatch.
What's happening right now is Major League Baseball saw the 114-game proposal that the Players Association had and said, this is not going to work. What they are willing to do at this point, though, is go to a full pro rata over a shorter season. Now, the length of the season is going to be really difficult for the players to accept. It's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 60 games. But the issue here is that Major League Baseball is moving a little bit toward the middle, along with the players trying to as well. For the longest time, really since the end of March when this agreement was put into place, players have been asking for their full pro rata salary. A 50-something game season Major League Baseball would be willing to do to get them there.
There's Jeff Passan, ESPN. It was just before the show that he had that report of the MLB's counter proposal to the Players Association. Buy or sell, we're going to wind up back at 82 games and a fully prorated salary at the end of this for baseball.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm still not certain that this doesn't dissolve into something really, really bad, but I'm going to be optimistic and say yes, the 82 games is where you'll end up. It's the idea.
But will they fully prorate for those 82 games?
I think that's
the players don't want to budge on
and
that.
I don't think the players are going to. So I think ultimately think that that's what you're going to have happen. So yes, it doesn't sound like the players are willing to budge on this. They've already given up the concession of the prorated salary. I just don't think you're going to get them to move off of that point. And it sure sounds like they are more dug in than I've seen any of the other sports league. So yeah, I think you end up with prorated salaries, the 82 games, and that's eventually what the owners are gonna have to swallow if they want a season.
So hard, Mike and Jace. I'll be optimistic as well. I'll buy it because I think that both of them have an interest in getting going. I think fewer games helps the owners, right? Because which sounds counterintuitive, but if there are no fans, fewer games helps the owners because that's less salary to be paid. So I think that's a good compromise. I still think there's a chance the owners could get them to prorate a little bit more, and take them down some percentages. Who knows? But I think they're getting closer, and I'd be surprised if they don't have a deal within the next 7 to 10 days.
Well, they need one within the next 7 to 10 days, because whether you're talking about a June 30th start or somewhere in July, with each passing day, those dates get a little more sketchy because you have to have some ramp up for the season.
22 teams has become the focus, potentially 5 extra teams from the West, 1 from the East, in addition to the 16 playoff teams. And what will that mean for teams like Memphis in Orlando, who are in the 8th seeds? What in these games and then play-in games would have to happen for them to drop out, for somebody to move up into their spot? Those are the discussions and the details that the league is working on with the Players Association, and then they'll take it back to the owners on Thursday, and I'm told that the owners are ready to support whatever the league office and the Players Association brings them. They are going to vote to resume the season in that Thursday vote.
More updates. That's Woj talking about the NBA. So 22 teams seems to be the leader in the clubhouse now for the NBA's return. Buy or sell, do you think they will have more teams than 22 once the season starts? A couple of the owners of small city teams, lower or smaller market teams, came out and said that they wanted a full return to the last, to the 82nd game of the season, so that they could get the most money that they could.
So like Cleveland?
It was the Oklahoma City guy who came out and spearheaded it, but apparently small market franchises tend to agree that they all want to come back for an opportunity to not lose out on some money.
You want a cash grab? Again, but I don't understand. I would need to know more of the details behind where that money is going to come from, because if you're playing only in Orlando and you're not playing in front of fans, where's that revenue coming from? Now, I understand that there has to be a certain number of games for local teams to meet their regional broadcast TV deals. And so I don't know if that's what they're talking about, that like if Oklahoma City can't play the remaining 15 games, they would be forced to give up money on their regional TV deal. I know that somehow that has to be worked out if you're giving that regional Oklahoma City network national games in order to broadcast. I'm just not certain where this big influx of money is coming from by coming back and playing these for a team like Oklahoma City or whoever.
Local TV deals?
I don't know where that money is coming from. I don't know. I question that for the Clevelands and the Golden States that aren't going to make the postseason regardless of what you do. I don't understand this. But no, I think it will be 22 teams. I don't think all of those teams want to come back and play. Golden State has clearly said that they don't want to. I can't imagine that Cleveland has any interest in playing, nor do I think their players have really been staying in shape. So 22 is more than enough to get this thing up and going.
So if you took this current 16 playoff teams and then did Blazers, Pelicans, Kings, Spurs,
yeah,
because they're all bunched up there in the West, that's 20.
You said five of the West and one in the East.
That's 20. Oh, five in the West. Okay, so they're going to throw the Suns in there and then one extra team in the East that's four and a half games already out of, yeah, like that would be the Wizards,
because
by the way,
the two teams in the East that are in the seventh and eighth spot are already sub 500 teams. So yeah,
but the Wizards are literally
24-40.
Dude, they are four. No, they're five and a half games back of the Magic.
Yeah.
Why the hell are they there?
I don't know.
I guess just to make it even.
Well, I guess it. But if you
even
if,
numbers,
if you went down and yeah, if you took, then you're dealing with Minnesota, who's the second to worst team in like the entire NBA.
So the teams that wouldn't be there would be Minnesota, Golden State, Charlotte, Chicago, the Knicks, Detroit, Atlanta, and Cleveland.
And the only thing I can think of for those teams would be local TV deals. I know that that is a concern, that in regional contracts like what the Blazers have with Comcast Northwest, they have to deliver a certain number of games, and if they don't, you're forced to give back money. That's the only thing I can think of for these also-rans, the Hawks and the Cavaliers and whatnot, for wanting to come back and play any of these games.
I buy as well that it will be 22 teams, but what if they invited all 30 and then, or they just said everybody show up if you want, and then the teams that didn't show up, they just used replacement players like you and I got called in. They called in the lefty.
Bunch of 10 games.
Dude, I'd chuck up contracts. All kinds of shots.
Well, like you heard what Lillard said.
I probably couldn't
like,
get any shots
off.
What
percentage would get blocked?
Yeah. Well, I would just chuck up half-court shots.
I would just get in.
They wouldn't pick me up at half-court. They wouldn't need to.
I'm just going
because the ball would land at the free throw line.
Six hard fouls. The ha game. Right from the get-go. Like before, can you get a foul before the tip?
Can you? No.
No? Because I feel like I could.
No.
I would just
they
start
can't stop the game. I would just start.
I would just start delivering cheap shots right from the get go. I'd get kicked out. But
you just barrel roll some guy's knee right.
Pretty much. Like damn. That was one of my specialties was the backside cut block. I don't
You're
know if
ruthless.
That's. I'm guessing that's not legal in the NBA, but we'll find out real quick. That's the only added value I have in the NBA is injuring someone, and then I go hurt their best player, someone punches me, and then we're all kicked out of the game. Advantage my team.
If you put us out there, probably let's just use me since I'm smaller.
Yeah.
If you put me out there just for five fouls, just to use my fouls,
yeah,
would I get more hurt? Or like would I still get hurt? Like Oh, my only job is to foul.
Yes, you'd get hurt.
I'd get hurt, right?
You'd get hurt.
Like, just me slapping at the ball
you'd catch an elbow.
Hitting some guy.
Yeah, you'd catch an elbow or something.
I couldn't even use five fouls. I'd have to leave the game.
You go to commit a hard foul and you end up getting... Well, you've ever had that, like, with your wife or girlfriend where they're playing around with you and they go to, like, smack you or whatever and they end up getting hurt? Yeah. Like, they go to, like, you know, they go to playfully punch you and you put your arm up and they're like, ow! And they're like, that's what you get.
Some role-playing, maybe?
Yeah, it happens.
What Nick Saban said was, we love everybody. We all love each other. Let's take care. It's the same as what you see on social media where people cherry-pick Dr. King quotes and it makes them feel better about themselves. That's not going to help anything. That's not going to fix anything. So, thanks, Nick, for putting that out. I mean, compared to the other coaches who have done nothing, but also, like, that is table stakes at this point. That is the bare minimum, so I expect more from them.
Dominique Foxworth talking about the college football coaches and the comments and the social media posts that they've made so far. Buy or sell, do you find those comments disingenuous when you see them?
Like, what are you talking about? Saban?
Any coach that shares the note or the picture.
Yeah.
Do you find it disingenuous, as in they feel like they have to do it and not that they actually mean it?
I feel like there's some. Look, I don't want to disparage all coaches. I think there's some pretty good dudes. I was listening, you know, Cristobal had some stuff to say. I think that's a guy that cares. I do. I think he cares about his players. I think it's misguided. I think Dabo's an ass, but I think he cares. I think in this weird, I just think he's very much out of touch with reality, but I think he cares. And then I think there's a lot of slime balls, unfortunately. I think the coaching world in general, especially the college world, is filled with people that don't give a rip and they're just there to exploit the kids. But to say that every one of them is disingenuous, I can't say that, because I do know a lot of those are good guys that do indeed care about those kids.
I would agree with Suk on that. You can't say that they're all disingenuous, but I would say that rather cynically, a lot of times when I see it, it's an eye roll.
Yeah.
However, I was talking to a business owner yesterday on the golf course, and we were talking about this very thing. And, you know, it's hard. I was asking him, I'm like, do you feel obligated to, you know, to hit social media with your message on this? And how do you cultivate that message? And he said, yes, they do feel obligated. It feels like when you have something that every single person is talking about, you just cannot ignore it. People expect your brand, whatever brand that is. And this goes for high profile people. I mean, Rashad was in here earlier on this subject and he was calling out all these high profile, big time high profile African-Americans, like Oprah, for example, he brought up.
Yeah.
It's like, where are you on this? Like, we need you. You're important because of how many people listen to you. And so I think that whether it's a sliding scale of those people and their following, but I do think there is an obligation for many of them to get out there and show their followers and their fans that they do have a pulse on this and they do have a stance on this. I think that's important. Yeah. So I would have said before, I would have said, God, it's such an eye roll. Just shut up, Nick Saban. No one cares what you think. But at the same time, I think they do. And I think it's important that guys like that and all male, female, black, white, what doesn't matter, come out and take a stance and show us, you know, how you feel and what you think. And I think that's important.
Look, I'm not one of these guys that loves to tell everyone what you should do with your, you know, platform. You can do whatever you want, right? Popovich is very outspoken. Other people aren't going to be. But I do think that it's interesting. And to me personally, just my view on it, doesn't mean they have to do it. I think that when you are a middle-aged white guy and you're making millions of dollars a year off of the backs of unpaid, mostly African-American labor, and Dabo comes out and says some of the comments that he has in the past about the Kaepernick protest, or, you know, he should just leave the country and crap like that, or if athletes get paid, I'll go find something else to do. That, to me, individually bothers me. And that, yeah, during a time like this where something like this affects the vast majority of players, which is why you make the money you do, I do personally feel that you have a responsibility to speak out and that use your platform and have a voice to better and improve the lives and the situation for the people that make you your money. Yeah, I think there's a responsibility there.
Hello?
That was it. I told
I
you
think that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, did you tell me to break?
Yeah.
I did.
Well, I see another one right there, Frank Reich. What's he saying?
That's from last week.
Uh-huh. What's he say?
He said that Rivers wants to play for more than one.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that, didn't we?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on. It's time for In the News, guys.
True story.
We've got a lot of news to disseminate to you.
A lot of news that is the news.
Yeah, on the local front. And we'll do that next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Huh. All right, we're back. What's up? It's 440 here on The Fan.
Yes, indeed.
Let's get right to it, JC Babes. Boy, we are loaded with news today. June 1, 2020, time for In the News. Your noted newsman right here for you again today. COVID cast number 58. 58!
Yep, and no end in sight.
58! There is end in sight, though.
Not really.
I think there kind of is.
Is there?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, all these leagues are, you know, college football guys are like, oh, yeah, we're going to play. And baseball's a little dicey, but NBA is like, yeah, July 31st. It's just going to be several more COVID casts, but I think that
it'll be a while.
There is light.
I do think if you want light, it's going to be August 1st, but the fact that it's June 1st, light's still a ways away. Breathe, Rob.
Excuse me. It is National Olive Day. I hate olives. And National Flip a Coin Day. I just thought I'd throw that in. I actually don't mind green olives. I just don't like black olives.
Olives and flip a coin, huh?
Yeah.
Weird day.
I hate olives.
Let me just say this about olives.
Mike hates olives.
I put olives on nothing. Nor should you.
Me neither.
But if I'm eating a dish.
Wait, me too.
And there's a pizza or whatever and you put olives on it.
You can live with it?
Sure. I'll do my best to kind of, you know, you ever pizza where you just kind of try to shake loose a couple of the extras?
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are on top, but the ones that are melted into the cheese,
it's okay.
It's not going to deter me from eating said pizza or digging into the pasta.
I hear you, but when you open the pizza box, particularly when you don't know what type of pizza it is and you see olives or mushrooms,
yeah,
I get pissed.
Do you really?
It doesn't mean I can't eat them, but I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah. Like,
who
why?
Did that? Who? Yes.
Because
why?
They're not really flavorful. And,
yes. Why?
I mean, can I also?
Who are you trying to fool?
Can I also say this? Just, I'm gonna get on a soapbox here. This happened to me recently. If you're at a shindig, a gathering, a party of some sort, a social gathering, and you are in charge of ordering the pizza, it is upon you to do a best practice when it comes to pizza. Do not go off the reservation and just start randomly ordering the most. Like out there, you need to stick to like there's like four or five pizzas that are universally accepted.
Cheese, pepperoni,
sausage, maybe a Hawaiian if you want to spice it up,
or maybe a veggie. Well, because maybe, people are all picky.
Yeah, but see the veggie thing.
See,
I agree with you, but someone's going to complain if there's not a veggie option. So if you give them
well,
one,
screw them.
Then you get one.
You just need.
You can't have your own pizza.
You need to stick in your lane. Right? Maybe you go half of a Supreme. Maybe.
Sorry, veggie guy. You can't have your own pizza. Like, if I was a... See, this makes
no
sense.
So are you saying that you can't do, like, a sausage and onion? Because people might not like onions?
Sausage and onion.
Is that not... Is
well,
that
that's
safe?
A little odd. But, like, if I were the only pepperoni guy, like, I can't say, why isn't there a pepperoni? If I'm the only pepperoni guy?
Yeah.
I can't say that. Look, so why can the salad guy or the veggie guy be like,
that's what the cheese...
I'm the only veggie guy. Where's my veggie?
That's what the cheese pizza's for.
That
Rob
is
right. If you have a three pizza choice, you go with the cheese, you go with a pepperoni, and then like you said, maybe on that last one, you can go with something like Hawaiian, but you do not go with a bunch of olives and just wheat. No.
Stupid stuff.
Yes. Stick to the basics when it comes to
Although,
party pizzas.
I will do a green olive stuffed with blue cheese. I find that to be delicious.
Okay.
But particularly in alcohol.
That's more about you just eating blue cheese.
Yeah, exactly. You could probably just get rid of the olive. Could I get a stuffed olive with blue cheese, hold the olive?
Sure. It's like when I wrap bacon around something. Like I can wrap bacon around any vegetable and I'll eat it and I'm like, oh, that's good. No, it's not. It's just good because I'm eating bacon and it's masking the flavor of whatever horrid thing.
At least
thing
you're
it's...
getting the veggies in you.
Exactly. Although, bacon wrapped asparagus, delightful.
Very, very much so.
Highly recommend.
I've never had that before.
Shame on you.
Seriously?
Bacon wrapped asparagus? No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a common one. National Guard or not, Ted Wheeler has asked our governor, but she suggests other alternatives. And of course, if you don't know what I'm talking about dealing with the protests that are going on in U.S.
Yeah.
and in Portland. Meanwhile, up in Washington, Governor Inslee has called in the National Guard statewide to assist local police there.
Well, the press has said that if you don't get it under control, he will call out the military to quickly end this violence. And then he took a photo with a Bible in front of a boarded up church for some reason, but he's very angry.
Oh, wait, I just read that Kate Brown has now activated the Oregon National Guard.
Oh.
So
they're going to be out there tonight?
She was defiant at first. We do have a curfew. I don't know about that. We do have a curfew. She says that it will be support function only, behind the scenes.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, well.
The National Guard is going to be behind the scenes?
Yeah.
By the way, has this curfew worked at all? Or like?
That's what she said.
You know, the...
8 o'clock. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't feel like the grounding of the cities is working well. But...
Well...
I will be in my house at 8 o'clock.
I think they understand that it doesn't do... Like, it's not foolproof, but they do with COVID. I saw Wheeler's press conference today, and he basically said, look, he understands that, you know, the curfew, you know, like just to a lot of people, it's like, we know that that may encourage more people to come out. But generally speaking, because of COVID, there is still a pandemic going on. So we think the curfew is nice to maybe, you know, remind people that there's a stay-at-home order in this sure. and that. I don't know, man. Well, I don't know what works and what doesn't.
Well, it gives you an excuse. Like, if you impose the curfew, then you can clear out. I mean, I'm supposing you can clear out whoever you want because you're violating the curfew. My guess is that in cities across America tonight, you're going to have more unrest. Just throwing that out there.
We've had 12 arrests here locally in the protests. My newsmen on the street say that they've covered various demonstrations in Portland over the years because, you know, we're well... Portland.
Yeah.
They did say this was one of the most violent and felt one of the most dangerous that they've ever covered. Today would mark day 5. Should we get more? I don't know if there's anything going on out there right now, but maybe tonight. So there will be a curfew tonight, 8 p.m. Yeah. So that's the latest on that.
Boy, I'll tell you what, it's just...
I have a question, though.
It is absolutely, to me, terrifying and surreal what you watch on the news and what you see on these video clips every night. I have a hard time wrapping my head around it, and it makes me sad, it makes me anxious, it makes me nervous. I am at a loss for words.
Is there rhyme or reason to which storefronts are attacked? Can you answer this question for me? Because in Portland, I saw there was a Chase Bank.
Yeah.
There was a Nike. And then, of course, they went out to down to the federal, the new Multnomah County.
Yeah, the Justice Center. They
so
got the.
Are they, like, is that?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, and there's,
I really
so,
understand.
And there's so much information about who's actually the one doing the looting and destroying. What percentage of the people are they different? Are they, you know, agitating groups looking to stir up trouble and use the protests as a mask for doing the nefarious things?
Well, yeah,
I've been reading a lot that in Minnesota, a lot of out-of-staters are going to Minneapolis and causing trouble.
Yeah, and then they turned out that the mayor or the governor backtracked on that and said that most of the arrests they had were local people. Like I said, there's information flying around left and right, and it's tough to understand. I do think that the vast majority of people that are out protesting are doing it peacefully.
Oh, yeah.
But the ones that are obviously getting the most coverage on it are the ones that are being super violent. Like I said, I think most of the police are handling it pretty good. But again, the ones that are getting all the press, or you've seen plenty of videos of cops out there getting all loose on people for no reason. So, you know, it goes back to the old thing of, as if it bleeds, it leads, right? And so you're getting the worst of all sides of the stuff that is getting the most attention.
The U.S. Attorney for Oregon, Billy J. Williams, who I was unfamiliar with until I saw his press conference today.
Yeah.
He said that there's no doubt that some of these episodes are organized.
Yeah.
In other words, he is saying that there is proof from what they've seen that of all of the peaceful protests, there are factions that clearly separate and go do violent damage.
Sure.
And so it's not just a... You know, we don't know what they know, and they know who it is, and it is organized specifically to cause damage, and so they're following that. But you know, I don't know, man.
I just think it's interesting too that the only time like someone burns down like a Target or an Old Navy, and we roll our eyes, but when it's a Nordstrom or a Louis Vuitton store, then the pearl clutching happens, and it's like, oh my God, It's weird to see again what gets attention and what doesn't.
I thought it was interesting. There was a video. This is the last thing we'll say, and then we'll break, and then we'll come back and give you the latest on COVID here locally. But there was a video in D.C. where there was a white guy who was, I think he was, like, taking a hammer to, like, the street or something. He was defacing, like, a curb and a sidewalk.
Yeah, he was trying to get concrete pieces to throw.
And so a bunch of black protesters literally picked him up and gave him to the police.
Yeah. Well, they said that he was breaking apart the curb in the street to get projectiles to throw. The other good one out there is I know you're not a UFC guy, but John Jones, who's maybe the baddest man on the planet. You're trying to find some sort of levity in any of this because it's just horrific. John Jones, and I'm not sure where he was at. I think he trains out in New Mexico, but I'm not sure
Isn't he a horrible guy?
He's not the best of dudes, but he is he's probably the baddest man on the planet. John Jones goes and literally takes the spray paint cans out of protesters' hands, and they don't do a thing. He literally just walks around and rips them out of their hands. And
they're
then,
like, sorry, Mr. Jones.
Yeah, they're like, sorry, right, it's my bad.
All right, I get it.
So all we need to get this under control is a lot more John Jones, because no one is going to say anything
mess with that
when John Jones rips the spray paint. You're like, hey, oh, it's all right. Where's Brock Lesnar?
You're
Lesnar?
Terrifying.
Yeah, it's again, go to my Brock Lesnar defense. What do you do when Brock Lesnar rips the spray paint can out of your hand? Nothing. You don't do a damn thing.
What is the latest on COVID locally? We'll have that for you next. 451 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next. Top 5 sports stories of the day, including a note on the son of Dale Murphy, Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott, outlining what it's going to be like for student athletes when they return to campus. Some Oregon State news as well. All of that next. But this is In the News for June 1, 2020. Just wanted to give you a quick update on the pandemic, which has been shoved to the back burner here.
Yeah, again, they blew the 28-3 fourth quarter lead, and now, no one's paying any attention.
Watch out, kids. There's a case of COVID reported at the Hazeldell Dutch Brothers.
Oh.
And you know the kids, they love their Dutch Brothers.
They do. My son almost got a job at a Dutch Brothers.
Yeah, was it Hazeldell?
No, it was the one over on this side. But he was going to school, so they didn't. I guess it's like a big deal to work there. And there's training. There's like training involved. And since he was leaving for college, they were like, we're looking for someone with more long-term Dutch Brother goals.
I don't ever really go to Dutch Brothers. I don't know how they did it. But man, is Dutch Brothers big with the kids?
Yeah, they freaking love it.
Maybe they just hired the kids.
And the kids that are working there are always so happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the thing.
Phase one of reopening for Washington County today.
Right, all you Beaverton bros.
Yeah, it doesn't mean everybody's going to reopen, but they are allowed to begin phase one today. So that's nice. Multnomah County is still going to apply by the end of this week and hopes to begin phase one June 12th, which is two Fridays from now.
Do you think that the large gatherings of people is going to change Multnomah County opening?
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, it's a couple
weeks.
I mean,
people are wearing masks and stuff, but not everybody. Well, it's a lot of people crammed together.
Well, I was reading two pieces, and I'm not sure if one's really bad and one actually some good news. They were saying that there's now like 20 plus states that have untraced hotspots, like, you know, with all the states opening, and people are like, oh boy, you know, buckle up for this. But then I read a report out of Italy today, and one of their leading science bros says that they can't explain it, but this COVID that's going around just is not, it's weakened. The effect on the body just isn't the same, and what they're seeing in Italy now is just it's a lesser version of this, and it's not putting people in the hospital. What? It's not killing them, and that
is it a different strain?
That's what they're saying, is that they're not 100% certain. And then if you want the other piece of news, they're saying now that this is not just a respiratory thing, but that it's actually a blood disease, that it's getting into your blood cells.
Oh,
which is,
damn it.
Yeah, which is why you're getting like the COVID toes, you're getting the heart attacks and the strokes, and that we've never seen anything like it. We've never seen an airborne respiratory disease that then gets into your blood. So again, I'm not sure which one of those you say is you know, the like overwhelmingly positive versus the negative. Maybe it's a push, but I read all three of those things this morning.
Interesting.
Yeah. But they're saying that this is what they believe now, that we've never seen anything like this, the respiratory disease that then travels and becomes a blood disease.
In Oregon, we had 58 new cases on Sunday, no new deaths, still 153 total COVID deaths in Oregon. All right, the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.